Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening. Good evening, Valley Bible. How are you guys doing? You guys doing good online? How are you guys doing? I love it when I do that because we get to find out how many people are both online and in person all at the same time. And it is a lot of fun. Can you guys do me a favor and say hello to the people next to you? Can you say hello? Hey there, person I just worshiped right next to you. Well, I hope you guys are doing good. I would like to open up this evening just in prayer. If you would, if you'd be so kind as to bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll pray this together online, pray this here. Father, we just thank you in advance for what you're gonna do in this place. And just like that song said, we just know that we're safe if we're in your hands, if we're in your presence. And we just thank you that we can rest on you, that we can build our lives on you. And Father, I ask in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would do a powerful work here tonight, that you would communicate to us, especially and specifically where you are at. We love you, we praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give it up for the worship team slash John one more time? Love you, bro. So we are on, this is Wednesday night, and we have been in a study in the book of 1 John, and we will continue that here this evening. But before we do, I just want to see everybody, make sure everyone's still doing good. One thing that I love so much about worship is if you've ever had this ability or maybe inability to speak something, and like you're feeling a certain way, but you can't put it into words. I'm so thankful for poets. I'm so thankful for songwriters that, you know, in those moments, they can communicate exactly what our hearts are trying to communicate. And that's why I think it's so important that we show up for worship, that we show up for the first song. I understand if traffic is a little bit intense, but just to be in the presence of God, you know, there's a lot of people that have opinions on how church should go. I was talking with somebody one time, and they were letting me know how the church service should run. And I said, okay, so then what would you do? I said, well, we should have worship longer. I said, okay, how long? She said, at least an hour. I said, you could worship on the way. On the way, you could, you know, listen to the songs coming in, and that could be, and then it just continues when you come on in here. You can work it out like that. But I mean, everybody has a lot of opinions. The reason why we do it the way that we do it is really that first song. That first song is the song that kind of gets everybody like out of whatever state of mind they had coming in, especially if it was negative. If it was positive and you're thinking about the Lord coming on in, you come in and you got flags waving and you're speaking in tongues. Like, it just happens. But if you maybe, you know, gas prices are terrible or the stoplights weren't working or whatever it is, you come in here and first song kind of like gets you ready. Second song kind of hits a little different. And then the third song, like, all right, Lord, I'm ready to talk to you. I'm ready to be in your presence. By the fourth song, you're just like, all right, I'm going to get saved all over again. I'm going to get baptized all over again. And these songs just communicate a part of us that if you're not a poet, if you're not a songwriter, hopefully it would just encourage you just to read these lyrics and speak them over your situation or your circumstances, because so often the enemy does a really good job at trying to distract us. And so singing a lyric like, I'm safe with you. Oh gosh, God, that is so good for me to remind myself. I'm gonna build my house on you. I'm gonna build you our firm foundation, like David was singing. And it was just something that was just so good for us. And so that's the reason behind worship. That's why I love worship. Hopefully it'll be a reason why you start showing up earlier to worship. But before we get into tonight's message, I want to ask you guys to do me a favor. And if you can, if you are a new person here, welcome. If you're a non-believer and you're new here, welcome again. Love to have you guys here. But I'm going to ask for those who are believers, for those who are in a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter how long, it doesn't matter what your relationship with him is like. Like, are you and him even on talking terms right now? Who knows? But wherever it is that you're at, if that is you, can we just take a second to remember when you first met this Jesus? Can we just take a second and put yourself back in that location or that circumstance, that headspace? Maybe it was back when you were a lot younger. Maybe it was a few weeks ago. But can we just remember back to that instance where for the first time, it all made sense? Maybe none of your questions were answered, but all of a sudden you realized that you weren't the one who had to have the answers anymore. That you weren't the one that was going to call the shots anymore. Can we just remember back when God first made himself real in our lives? Not that he was hiding from us before, but he just, something changed. Maybe you were ready to, you know, listen or throw in the towel of your circumstance. But can we just remember how that felt for a second? Can you put yourself, if your imagination is great, amazing. If you're more of a logical person, that works too. Maybe it was here. Maybe it was at another church. Maybe a different city. But what did that feel like? Seems simpler. If you've been walking with God any length of time, maybe you're in the sweet spot of where, like, no, this is just my life now. I don't have to memorize anything. I just know him, he knows me, and we work this out together. Maybe you became that new Christian, and maybe you're in the honeymoon phase right now, where you're just like, God literally moves mountains, and he multiplies my food. Every time I open the fridge, PB&J is still there. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're in the position where the honeymoon phase has kind of worn off, and you're kind of like, hey, Lord, what do I got to do now to get back to you? I feel like you're distant from me. And so what God's doing with you, he's walking you through trials. And, you kind of thought that Jesus was going to be the one that carried you through it. And he goes, no, we're walking together in this. And you're like, well, I didn't really want to walk. I was hoping that you were going to carry. And he's like, that's not how this works. Maybe that's where you're at. But man, what was that day like when it first made sense to you? And then I want to read 1 John chapter 2. We're just going to read verse 24 for right now. It says, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Please leave that verse up. What was it that you heard in the beginning? What did God say to you that caused you to say, oh, I'm all in now. Oh, this is too good. This can't be real. And I'm going to sign up just to prove that this timeshare isn't legit. I'm going to sign up and I'll go. I'll do this thing. I'll show up here. But one day it'll eventually fall through, and then whatever, I got plan B. And then you've never needed plan B. What was the thing that you heard at first? Because John is writing to a group of believers, and he's cleaning up some stuff. Pastor Hector spoke 2 weeks ago and spoke to the fact that there were these antichrists that were walking around. Now, little disclaimer, you know, want to help you guys out for a second, because we're all afraid of the one antichrist. And now there's many of them John's talking about. Well, the antichrist isn't what we're thinking of when it comes to the end of the world and all that stuff. It's really vague. It's really bland. Go back to Pastor Hector's sermon 2 weeks ago. It's archived. You can find it on YouTube. But what we're talking about is John is speaking to that group of people. And sometimes we can get so caught up in fighting, so caught up in defending, so caught up in just doing for God that we forget what we heard at first. And you might be so seasoned, or maybe like the world has beat you so bad that you're like, no, I remember what I heard at first, but it didn't work. can I suggest that maybe you did it wrong? Can I suggest that maybe there was a, maybe, you know, like, well, I keep showing up to church and I still, well, showing up to church isn't the only thing we're supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen. I hope I'm clearing up some stuff for some people. We're supposed to leave and pray. We're supposed to leave and read the Bible. We're supposed to leave and literally act and or at least, you know, make attempts to act like Jesus Christ himself. And in this, then we come back here for like a pick-me-up. Did you know that that's what church is supposed to be, is your pick-me-up? Can you look to the person to your left and say, oh my gosh, it's supposed to be a pick-me-up? It's a long sentence to say. Can you look to the person to your right and say, I know that, I've been trying to tell you that for years. Say that whole sentence. I want to look at a couple of words here because there's some real fancy words here in the NASB. But let me read it to you in the Message version. It says, stay with what you heard from the beginning, the original message. Let it sink into your life. If what you have heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both the Son and the Father. It's supposed to sink in. It's not supposed to be something where someone, you know, like comes at you and does your thing. And you're like, hold on a second. I love you. You know, you're, that's not how we're supposed to respond. All, it should just pour out of us. We shouldn't need to sit there and say like, okay, Lord, please help me right now. I'm about to go talk to my kid's teacher. Like, it's not supposed to, it's just, God, just go with me, guide me, lead me, speak to me. And you know how his voice sounds. And just little by little over the years, we just fall more and more in love with God. We shouldn't look like road-worn believers in Jesus. We should be these people that we reflect on how it is to be like Jesus. And where we go, we fall back in love with him again. And that's what John is saying here is he goes, I know that we get so caught up in trying to do these things, but we should just fall back in love with the moment when you first laid eyes on Jesus. It's supposed to be that way. And if that's not what you've been taught, or maybe that's not what the internet said, can I just tell you, it's what scripture says all over the place. But I want to look at a couple of words here. Let's just knock out that big one right at the beginning, that word abide. If you're a note taker, this is what abide means. To be rooted in, as it were, in him, God. To be rooted in, as it were, with him and God. To knit to him by the Spirit that they have received from him. We're supposed to be rooted in God. This idea of knitting, this idea, I don't know how many people in here knit and make their own clothes. But this idea of stitching together, this idea of making two things one, little by little, this putting together, the slow entanglement of roots in soil, this idea of being so intricately put together that it shouldn't, like Pastor Ron's illustrations of the red and the yellow clay, putting them together until eventually it's impossible for you to separate the blue from the red because the little bits of red and blue are right there next to each other, fused together. That's how we're supposed to be living. So then in that context, it says in verse 24, let that, the thing that we heard before, abide in you. But why is it even worth being rooted? This idea when God first reminded you or told you that you are forgiven, that you are still loved, that the sins of your past no longer have to walk with you because I've removed them, that idea should be rooted or knit in you. But why? What's the point of that? Because then, if that abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. The one thing that humanity has ever sought after is to know their creator, to know why they are here. It's why we're making robots and trying to go to Mars. We're trying to find the answer to this question. Can we be like God? Can we go find God in space? And God says, listen, it's not so complicated. Fall in love with me again. Because sometimes we can just do that. If anybody is in here in a relationship, or if you're single and you can remember your relationship, man, that honeymoon phase is real. They can do no wrong. They can do no wrong, this individual, this person. And then you start thinking back, like, however long you guys have been together or however long it was that you were together. And then it's the idea that if you don't continue to cultivate and pour into that relationship, eventually you're just two people next to each other. And slowly over time, this person next to you isn't taking care of you and satisfying you the way that you needed. So then you begin to wander somewhere else. You go to where you get what you're needing. And it's the same concept with God. God goes, I didn't just save you just to put you in the boat. He goes, I saved you so that you would live. So that you would live life, and we would be walking together, and it'd be like, hey, God, how do I get a raise at my job? And he goes, oh, this is what you do. Hey, God, how do I raise my kids, right? Well, this is what you do. Hey, God, how is it that this person I don't really like, I don't want to necessarily not like them. How can I learn to like them? How can I be appreciative or respectful to the people around me? And God goes, this is what you do. I'll never forget. I'm not a lovey-lovey kind of person. I love differently. And I'm more of a physical, you know, I like you if I hurt you. It is what it is. It's just, if I punch you, if I squeeze you real hard in a hug, like if I just love you, that's how I know. But I'm sitting there, and when my wife and I first started dating, I'm like trying to figure out how to woo her, right? Like, it's been months now, and I don't know. I'm just doing my best, okay? I'm just trying to survive this relationship thing. Being a Christian and in a relationship is 1,000 times harder. There's so many things that are off limits. It's insane. It's all, my God, please, you got to show me. What can I do? Like, I want her to like me more. I want to, you know, grow our relationship. And no joke, God goes, change your status on Facebook. Now, I know what you're thinking. You didn't do that day two? No, I didn't. Can you believe that? I'm insane. I waited months. And so God goes, you need to change your status on Facebook. I changed my status on Facebook. My now wife, girlfriend at the time, she was stoked on it. Like, that was cool. It wasn't till months later that she goes, I've never told you, but that meant so much to me. I'm not smart enough to have thought like that. I'm not. I would like to think I'm like Romeo, she's my Juliet. I'm just not that smart. I wasn't a player. I didn't know what I was doing. And it was just simply the very fact of, like, God, I don't want to screw this up. Please, what do I do? And little by little, and you know where that came from? No joke. I remember Pastor Ron talking about, like, if he was single now, he'd be praying for God to give him an idea of what kind of hairstyle to have. Why wouldn't we be like that? If we are abiding in God, if we are rooted in God, that's how we should be in relationship to him. Well, God doesn't care about your hairstyle. I mean, no, maybe not every day, but when it comes to how can I impress my future spouse? God, because I want to have a Christian, a believing, an authentic believer as my spouse. Of course God's going to care about that. Why wouldn't he care about that? And it's crazy, the more that you learn about how much God loves us, how much he truly cares about us. I want to look at another word here, because this sentence, this verse seems so simple, but there's a lot of hidden words here. And we're only going through one verse tonight. Don't thank me, thank him, because I was ready to just give us like five tonight. And God goes, just park right here. But it's this idea that this can't be that good. If you're a note taker, you're like, okay, I'm ready. Verse number one, cool, give me the next one. And sometimes that is how we act. All right, God, that was so great. You gave me a rhema at church on Sunday. It's Monday now, give me another one. And he goes, no, that one was still good. Keep reading that one. And then you'll get to Tuesday. All right, God, I remembered it. That's great, give me another one. He goes, still that one. And so that's why we're going to just rest on this verse here tonight, because we've got the word abide down, to be rooted, to be knit together. But the word heard, and I know, you're like, Tom, we all know what that verse or that word means. But there is a, did you know there's different languages in the world outside of English? Crazy. And what we're looking at in definitions here are the Greek definitions of these words, because, I mean, maybe some of you in here are worse scholarly and you understood what it means to abide, like to rest in, to be, but did you know that the word abide meant to be knit in him by the Spirit? And so that's why we're looking at these words. I'm not insulting your intelligence. I'm hopefully opening your eyes to what the Greek definitions are to these words. The Greek definition for the word beginning, or sorry, heard, is to get by hearing. Huh, who would have thought? Another definition is what is taught to you in secret. What happens when you have like these big biblical questions? What does worship look like? And so maybe you're a Googler. Maybe you have a mentor. Maybe you have a Bible study that you go to. Maybe you have a pastor's phone number. But can I tell you that every single one of those options should be next in line after going to the Creator himself? Every single one of us should go to God first to get the answers from our questions. That's how we're supposed to live. Maybe you're like me. I was real skeptical coming to God. I read about what happened to Lot and his two daughters in Genesis, and I was like, yo, you're going to hit that in like chapter 5 or 6 or 7. I can't remember. It's early in Genesis. The first book of the Bible, you're going to start talking about a crazy story like that. And I kept reading scripture to find what was wrong with scripture. And I'm like, one of these days, I'm going to find something. I started when I was 19. I'm 32 now. Still haven't found anything. And it's just this idea that you read scripture and, well, what does scripture say? Well, they didn't have scripture with Abraham, Job, David. They had law, maybe like Moses as well. But then after Moses and Joshua, then okay. But they didn't have everything that we have. They needed the relationship with God. Every single one of them in scripture, and nothing has changed. One of the most beautiful verses in scripture comes after Jesus raises from the grave. And prior to that, he would talk to the disciples about the Father. And he spoke in a certain way. He goes, I go to my Father, 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 warning them about his death. And then finally, he raises from the grave and he says, my Father and your Father. His verbiage changes. Because on the cross, he says, it's finished. What was the it? The separation. And still today, we will make the wrong assumption that we're supposed to go to only Pastor Ron to hear, only Pastor Hector to hear, only Pastor Tom to hear, only Pastor John to hear what God has to say about a situation that we're going through. They should be the ones that confirm what God says. But sometimes we'll get ourselves into situations where we come into come up for prayer or whatever, needing some advice, and that's the first time what we're hearing about something. But God makes it clear. He goes, no, you're supposed to abide in me. Did you know that pastors, deacons, teachers, everybody that is mentioned in scripture that has some sort of role in scripture is meant to equip you? It's so crazy that God would play upon these people to equip you. And somewhere along the lines, we just kind of get it. I was sitting back there. Back when I first started coming to the church, I would sit back there. And I was sitting back there today because it's a surreal moment for me. There's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot of different opportunities I've been placed in the process of. And I didn't want to forget where I came from. Dude, I thought I was so cool when I first got these tattoos. I would intentionally sit with my arms on the rest for the people behind me to see my ink. Like I was like, oh yeah, I'm one of those Christians, you know, a little edgy, you know? But I did, oh, kind of like my man over there. Like, that's how I was sitting, like you. But it was then to go from there to here, and I'm sitting there going, God, how? I just read this thing and literally tried to be like the relationships that I saw in here. And I don't know how. Growing up in church, I ever thought like, you know, no, it's the Pope. The Pope is the guy who talks to God. You just do what the Pope says. No, this religious figure, He's the one who talks to God. She's the one who has a relationship with God. You just shut up and you go to church on Sundays and try to stay awake. And here we have John pointing it out. Hey, if you want to know God, if you want to know the Son, if you want to know the Father, you abide. And you literally live as if every decision needs to be God answered. And that's how we do it. So the word heard means what is taught to you in secret. Everyone's got big decisions to make. Everyone's got these huge plans that they have. My wife and I, when we got married, we prayed, God, where are we supposed to go on our honeymoon? We couldn't afford anywhere. The third word, the last word, is beginning. This word seems pretty easy, but the definition, the Greek definition is, it's in a relative sense of the beginning of things spoken of. Another definition is as soon as instruction was imparted. So then let's look at this verse again. If you could put that verse back up, chapter 2, verse 24. As for you, let that abide or take root or be knitted in you, which you were taught in secret from the beginning of your instruction. If what you were taught in secret from the beginning or the beginning of your instruction is rooted in you, you will also be rooted in the Son and in the Father. I got an illustration tonight. And this idea of knowing God and being rooted in God, to be knit in God, sometimes we have this idea that how we're supposed to do it is supposed to be like, okay, I choose to follow you, Lord. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give my life to you. I'm going to show up on Sunday. See, God, we're knit together. Well, that can still break apart. That's real easy. But let's say that you know, the new year's coming around, so new year, new you. So you're going to start going to church. Family's going to start going to church. But then you tell yourself, I'm also going to start praying every day. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm praying about stuff. I'm not making the amount of money I want to make. I'm not happy. I want to be happy. Then from there, you want to start getting into a Bible study, start getting around some people that really, really, really need to be around you because you're so cool. But in actuality, you really need to be around them because they know more about scripture and walking with the Lord than you do. And then you decide, okay, from what I'm reading in scripture and the lifestyle that I'm seeing that these people lead, they're talking about this tithe thing. It's really uncomfortable, but all the cool people are doing it. And then you decide, I like this a lot, and I'm going to actually get involved in the church. I think they could use some help. I can't do a lot, but I'm going to get involved in the church. And then, next thing you know, this thing is little by little, this knitting together, every decision that you've made, you come to a point that you can't take this apart anymore. Because what you have done is little by little have knit yourself together with God. You've just abided in Him. You didn't, this might be a 5-10 year process, but you still little by little abided in Him. I can't take this apart. I'm not the strongest man in the world. Pastor Tom's over there. We'll give it to him later. But this isn't coming apart. And that's how it happens. And the most beautiful thing about Scripture and the most beautiful thing about our God is He is patient with us. It's kind of His thing. He's love. The first thing about love in the New Testament, it says love is patient. Oh, thank the Lord for patience, because we are screw-ups. We like to do a lot of bad stuff. I don't know why we do. It's a thrill, I guess. But love is patient. Our God is patient. And He wants to see us succeed. Every single one of us. So how do we succeed with God? Let's just remember back when He introduced Himself to us properly. Not what we heard mom and dad say, not what it was that maybe the TV, but that moment when you fell in love because you realized that the God of the universe, your whole life up until that point was spent, He was pursuing you with everything that He had. And you begin to think back on the way high school went and you're like, man, I was in some sketchy situations I should have died in. Dang, Lord, You protected me. Dang, I was in some situations when I was in junior high, like I was in some cars that I shouldn't have been in and people were driving like crazy and I didn't have any control of that driver. I didn't have any control of the flight that I was in. I had no control over the food that I was eating. I had no control over the restaurants that I went to. I had no control over the friends I was hanging out with. I had no control. And little by little, you start to realize how little control you have of things. And then God more or less just kind of ta-da's Himself, like, yeah, it's been me this whole time. And God, from the beginning, has been pursuing us. So church, new people, people who don't want this God to love them so bad, it's just what He does. And you can push Him away all you want to. You can push His church away. It's not gonna stop His love for you. Jesus Himself says that He goes away to prepare a room for us. Unfortunately, if I'm reading that correctly, if I understand Scripture, that means there's gonna be a lot of empty rooms. Doesn't mean He's not gonna make the room. Doesn't mean He's not gonna believe in those people to believe in Him one day, even if it's on their deathbed. Because Ephesians says that God wishes for every man and woman, every person to know Him. It's not an exclusive club. And so tonight I felt like God was just saying, like, you just need to remind Him that it's not a math problem that you need to solve. God just says, abide in Me. Remember the day, the moment that you fell in love. Remember how it felt. And nothing has changed. He still loves us. And I am so thankful that He would still love us. I am so thankful that He would put up with all the stuff that I throw at Him. And I throw a lot at Him. A lot at Him. Oh gosh. I gotta apologize to some people when I get home tonight. But God's not mad at me. And so what I want to do is I want to close in prayer right now. And there'll be prayer people up at the front. And if you need to handle some business, great. If you need to just sit in your seat for a minute or two and just kind of sink in this hearing. But I'm going to pray this. Father God, I thank You for this place. God, I thank You so much for the love that You would have for us. So many parts of tonight are orchestrated by You for every single one of us in here. We have tech people, we have backroom people, we have the worship team, we have the prayer people, the greeters, the parking lot, security. All of this orchestrated to remind us that You love us. So God, I pray for every single person in this place. Help us to remember how to love You again. Help us to abide in You. For those that are going through difficult situations and circumstances, I'm not saying that you're supposed to be happy in them, but the Bible is saying that we turn our attention for those things towards God, and we rely on God, and we need God, because in those moments, we will be with God. So Lord, I ask that tonight's message would speak to so many, both here and online. Be with our hearts and our minds, connect them to worship you again, to love you again, to be in your presence again. Father, I pray for the boldness of everybody here and the sound of my voice. Help them to hear from you in secret. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name from distracting them. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name from throwing all sorts of mind games at them to prevent them from focusing on you in their secret place. That God, for maybe for the first time, they will hear you so loudly over a situation, and Jesus, you would do only what you can do over that situation. Help families to be restored. Help sick ones to be made well in Jesus' name. Let miracles happen and go out so that we would see that the God of heaven comes down to earth and would change situations and circumstances. Because you are the one who does that, God, not us. It's you, and we need you, Lord. We need to see you. I pray for the hurting, that they would see you, God. I pray for those who are sick, that they would see you. I pray for those that are stuck in their minds, that they would be released, Lord. I pray for those that are under depression, that they would be released, God. Let your love go to people. Let your Holy Spirit release people now from whatever hold the enemy has had, from whatever hold they have had, God. You are stronger. Like the song said, whatever mountain is in our way, God, it has to move. And in Jesus' name, it will move. If we abide in you, God, you will be right by our side. And I thank you that that is a word that you told us, not something that we made up and fabricated. God, let the truth go out. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you guys. If you need prayer, come on up.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.